If you're familiar with the movie Bruce Almighty, you know that it raises a lot of questions about God and relationship with God and all those things. And while we don't necessarily endorse the spirituality of the movie, it does raise a lot of good questions. And I especially love this part where he is now kind of taking on some of the responsibilities that God normally has. And among that is he starts hearing prayers in his head and doesn't know what to do with them. And now you just saw the scene where he came up with a system to kind of download the prayers. And as that scene, that clip goes on, there's eventually a place where he's just tired of dealing with it. And he just hits control all answer yes. And so everybody gets what they want. Well, a little later in the movie, we find out what that creates. As there are, I think it's like 20,000 lottery winners, but each of them only gets $17. And sometimes we pray and we think, okay, God, I need this, I want this, I need this, I want this. And what we want is a God who does what Bruce does here, which is, yes, anything you want, that's what I'll do for you. Anytime you want it, sure. But we know as parents that life doesn't work real well when our kids get everything they want all the time. What you end up with is spoiled kids who are very self-absorbed and self-centered. Well, as we're wrestling with prayer, and we've been dealing with prayer over the last several weeks, we did a series on prayer called I Pray, and the idea is that we're looking at different apps, different ideas of prayer, very specifically looking at some psalms. The book of Psalms contains prayers, poems, songs that were sung as part of worship in the people of God in the Old Testament. And most of the conversations in the book of Psalms are vertical. It's people talking to God and then listening to God talk back to them. And we have been looking at these Psalms to give us models and examples of how to grow in our prayer life. And the reason we did this is because just looking at us as a people, as a church, one of the things that I think that we struggle with, and to be honest with you, I think most churches struggle with, is that the prayer life of God's people often does not run very deep. That personal prayer, people's own private personal interaction with God often is driven only out of desperation. There's no real deep rhythms of prayer where people are continually going to God and incorporating different areas of prayer in their life and creating, you know, like I said, rhythms of prayer. I also think that the people of God have a hard time often coming together and praying. So you gather for a prayer meeting and say, okay, we're going to pray, and there's almost this feel of, okay, it's awkward and uncomfortable because nobody knows what to say, nobody knows what to do. And we wanted to kind of take a break and say it's important that we as a people are desperately seeking God together, and that when we're by ourselves, that we have a patterns of prayer, that we're praying for the needs that we have, that we're giving thanks to God, that we're worshiping God, but that we're also creating rhythms of prayer as the people of God, that when we come together, that we are quick to run to God, and that when we offer opportunities to pray together, it becomes something that we're passionate about. So we've done, this is our fifth week. We've talked about praise. We've talked about thanksgiving. We've talked about confession. Last week, we talked about the idea of lament, prayers that happen when I feel like God has not been fair and life doesn't make sense and I'm not sure what to do and life just seems to come unglued. And today, we're going to be specifically talking about our requests, our petitions. How do we, you know, incorporating the prayers when we say, God, I would like to see you work in my life and I'd like to see you do these certain things. And I think this is probably the part of our life that we have going on often, that we know how to say, God, here's my list, let me pray for it. But what I hope to do this morning is to really help you wrestle with what that looks like in a holistic way. What are you praying for? And then how do I go to the eternal true God to pray for those things instead of seeing God as a cosmic, you know, a Santa Claus in the sky or this cosmic genie or like Bruce who's just yes, 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 yes. How do I come to that God and interact with who he truly is and allow that God to speak deeply into my soul and transform me through my prayer life? There's a story of a family who had a little boy, maybe 3 or 4 years old, and the little boy, they were trying to teach him how to pray and that God answers prayers. So they thought they'd manipulate the situation. They had found out that the mom was pregnant. And so they went to the son and they said, listen, why don't you start praying that God will give you a baby brother or sister? And he was excited. He started praying every night. He kneeled down and prayed, God, I just want a baby brother. I want a baby sister. I think I'd rather have a baby brother, but God, give me a baby brother or sister. And they kind of knew that what was going to happen over the next 9 months, that they'd eventually have a baby. But the boy lost heart. like we often do, after praying for a couple months, you kind of got bored with it, kind of got tired of praying and, you know, stopped doing it every night. And, you know, even a couple times the parents asked, you know, why aren't you praying? It's like, oh, I prayed a lot about that. Nothing happened. Kind of feel, you ever feel that way in your prayers? Well, then they went to the hospital and they had baby and they actually ended up having twins. And so they came home and we feel that pain. My wife prayed for twins every time she was pregnant until the last time. See how God answers prayers? It was, God, we'd love to have twins. God, we'd love to have twins. Oh, God, not twins. And guess what? The last time we got twins. So the little boy, the parents came home. They looked at the little boy and they said, see, God answered your prayer. Look at how God answered your prayer. You don't just have one baby brother. You have two. The little boy looked at him and said, yeah, I'm glad I'm prayed, but aren't you glad I stopped when I did? We come to a God who does answer our prayers, who does love us deeply. And when we know Christ, when we have a relationship with our Creator because Jesus died on the cross for us and gave his life for us, and we have trusted in him, we have a Father who does care for our needs and who literally beckons us, who invites us to bring our requests. In fact, the Bible is full of two things. The Bible is full of passages that invite us into this conversation. And the Bible is also just chock full of examples of people who pray this way, who come to God with all their hurts, their pains, their struggles, the needs of other people, the struggles of the people of God, just everything in life. And I do think there is a sense in which God is trying to create in us dependence, that there isn't anything in life that I have that isn't from the grace of God, and that there isn't anything in my life that I am struggling with that God doesn't care about. I once heard somebody say, if you haven't figured out that it's that our prayer life ought to reach all the way down to praying for a parking place, you don't get it. I will let you know it works. It's amazing how many times I'm just driving like, all right, God, I kind of buy into this. Give me a parking place. Boom, there it is. Now, don't hear me being novel. I'm just saying that God wants our prayers and our need and our dependence to him to reach down to even the little things. And we need to create rhythms and patterns of prayer where we're deeply seeking after God for everything in our life and then see him as the giver of every good and perfect gift. And so there's a lot of passages. I'm going to show you just a few. Real quick, the promises of Jesus saying, come to me. Bring your needs, your struggles, your hurts, your pains, your concerns, your friends. Bring them to me. Just keep coming to me, coming to me. I'm here. I will answer these. So let's look at a few of these. A few of these passages. John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. Truly, truly, Jesus is speaking here. He says, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Greater works than these he will do because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power and it is working. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we've asked of him. John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus speaking again. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. In the Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you hear that? Do you hear the call that says it's an invitation from Jesus, from God Almighty to say, listen, come to me, pray, bring a request, live in the center of my will. I want to answer your prayers. I want to help you struggle and work through these things. But a couple things happen. The first is our own laziness. The only time we often cry out to God is when it is totally broken. When it's just totally come unglued. There aren't rhythms that come to God saying, I'm abiding in you, I'm trusting you, I'm seeking you. And so we don't have any rhythm of our life that sees prayer not as a cosmic wish list or a giant, you know, seeking after a genie. Rather, God is calling us into a relationship that is ongoing and is beautiful. That seeking him and asking for things is part of that, but that's not the end. That is part of the journey. And so without these rhythms that we've created, that we've been talking about all month, of incorporating, downloading these apps into our life, when we come to times where it's crisis, we don't even know what to say or how to pray. But the other side of this is that sometimes we look at, okay, God, I've prayed for this for a month, 2 months, 9 months, 50 years. And it hasn't happened quite like I thought it should have. You haven't really responded like I thought you would. Where are these promises? How are they working out? Why all these promises that you will answer prayer, but my life has all these situations where it didn't seem to work out like I thought it would, like I prayed? And what you find as you wrestle with, especially the stories of prayer, the people in the Bible, you find that God always answers prayers. He always keeps his promises. But there's two different ways that he will tend to keep his promises. Sometimes God will keep his promises by delivering from. In other words, God will deliver us from the situation. What I'm praying, God, I have this illness. God, I have this person at work. God, I have this situation in my life. God, I have this deep struggle. God, remove that from me. Help me with it. I trust you. I'm coming to you. Please help me with this. And what happens is that God literally will intervene, will step into our lives, will heal us, will bring hope, will bring a change of job or a change of situation. He will deliver us from the situation we're in. But often the way that God keeps his promises is not by delivering from, it's delivering through. That literally the way God answers our prayer is to shape us and to form us by walking us through things that are very hard in life. And by doing that, by walking us through these times, he makes us more and more like his son, Jesus. And it is those things that sometimes it takes years and maybe even a lifetime to look back and say, God, I give you thanks for this. There are all kinds of examples of people both in the Bible and outside the Bible that show us people who prayed for this, but it didn't go this way, it went this way. But by the time they get here, they go, God, I thank you for this in my life. And God delivers us through that his presence, that he answers our prayers, not in the way, not by just going control all, yes, but by walking us through hardships and brokenness so that we deeply find him. Which is a better answer often than being delivered right out of the middle of the situation. And so what does it look like for us to wrestle with this, to come to God with these struggles, to do these sort of things? Now, I just want to reiterate real quick before I jump into our text that part of what we want to do, since we're talking about prayer, we're talking about specifically prayer requests, taking our requests to God, that we are going to do that in this service. And we really want to encourage you, down here at the bottom of the screen, you've got instructions, it's in your bulletin as well. We want to encourage you to text any prayer requests that you have this morning, any struggles, any prayer needs. You can be as general as you want to. If you want to kind of remain anonymous, say that word really fast about four times. If you want to remain anonymous, that is fine. God knows, and we will pray. And so you can just be as general or as specific as you want to be. But the way you do it is you text to the number 265-010. And when you text, at the beginning of your text, you need to put the phrase Genesis Eureka, colon, and then put your prayer request. If you don't include Genesis Eureka and colon, we won't get it. So 265-010, and then text to Genesis Eureka, colon, and then put your prayer requests after that. And we will pray for these needs at the end of the service as part of what we're doing. I thought it would be like, if we're going to talk about prayer, probably a good idea that we actually do it as a people for a few minutes, all right? So we're going to do that. So make sure you take time to do that. Well, in this series, what we've been doing is we've been saying, therefore, the Psalms have models. Because a lot of times what I hear from people is, yeah, I get the prayer thing. I know I need to. I just don't know what to say. I don't know really how to articulate the feelings I have and the things that I want to say. And so what we've been trying to do is going to specific Psalms where people in the Bible are actually praying and look at their prayer as a model. And literally saying, if you don't know how to pray, just start by praying the Psalm. Literally use the words of the Psalm as your vertical conversation. And as you pray the Psalms, as you pray these things, and you literally recite the Psalm as your prayer, it'll start to build into you the things that happen as these people pray. It'll show us how God designed prayer to look like and prayer to be, and it'll become much more natural, and you'll find that you don't need the psalm after a while, that you can pray the same types of prayers for yourself, okay? So this morning, we're going to look at Psalm 86. So if you have a Bible, grab a Bible, turn to Psalm 86 with us. If you don't have a Bible, in your rows, we have Bibles for you. Page 421 in that Bible, we'd like everybody to have one, so make sure we pass them down. Most of y'all know we're going on a mission trip today. If you forgot to pack your Bible, you will need one, so grab one of these and take it with you, all right? Make sure you have a Bible to go on mission with us. We're gonna be asking you to read your Bible every day while you're on the mission trip, so make sure you have a Bible. But we'll be on page 421, Psalm 86 this morning. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna walk through this prayer request, this prayer of petition, where David is saying, God, hear my prayer. I have a situation I'm in. I'm just asking you to do something really cool in my life right now. And then I'm going to talk about just some of the principles from here, but what it looks like to have joy. Sorry, that was loud. It scared me. When I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. That's one of our memory verses, and I was afraid right there. So Psalm 86, we'll walk through this prayer of David as a model, but we'll talk about how to joy. And I've got a little acronym that some of you will think is really cute and wonderful, and some of you will think is really hokey, and I really don't care. So Psalm 86. Incline your ear to me, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant. For to you, O Lord, I lift my soul. For to you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of trouble, I will call upon you, for you answer me. Now, this psalm is broken into three basic stanzas, very similar to a lot of psalms. And the first stanza is David, who was the king of Israel. We don't know when this psalm took place. It could have happened before he was a king, when he was being actually pursued by the sitting king named Saul. It could have come later in his life when some events that literally came from his own son rising up against him, or it could just be a time of his life where there were other people pursuing him. But we do know from the psalm that the situation is David is being pursued by people who don't love Jesus, who don't love God, and because of that, his life is literally in danger. And David begins by just saying, God, hear my prayer. I'm crying out to you. I love you. I realize it's all grace. You are the only true God. I come to you, but I'm just begging you, hear me today, hear me today, hear me today. And sometimes our prayers get to that point where we feel like I just need to stop and pray, but I'm in this room and it feels like the walls are so confining. You ever feel that way? That I'm saying words and praying, but is anybody else listening? And David is literally saying, God, please hear me. I know you're there. I know who you are. I have this mental understanding that there is a God, that there is one true God, that I have a relationship with you. But on this day, I just don't want the walls to confine my prayers. I want to feel that you are listening to what I'm saying. Then he goes on, and rather than saying, God, here's the skinny on what I need, he says, but God, I am going to remind myself of who you are. Listen to what he says. There's none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love towards me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, insolent men have risen up against me. A band of ruthless men seek my life, and they do not set you before them. Verse 14 is the beginning of then the petition. He says, here's the deal, God. I know who you are. You are the great God. You are the one who has a great plan of calling all nations to yourself. I am part of that plan. I know that my faith is in the right person. But here's the situation. Verse 14 says it, insolent men have risen up against me, a band of ruthless men seek my life, and they do not set you before them. He's saying, man, there are people who don't know you, who don't love you, and I'm serving you, and now my life is in a deep pickle. It's in hard situation. I need you to intervene because my only hope is in you. He says, but you, O Lord, are gracious, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign of your favor that those who hate me may see and be put to shame because you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me. In other words, he closes his prayer by saying, God, I'm in this situation and I come to you, but I'm asking that the reason that you save me is not just for my own sake, but it's for the glory of your name. So that people will know that I got out of this situation not by my own doing, but because you have intervened in my life. And the outcome is that they will stop and they will see that you are God, like I know you. And there's something that's going on in this prayer that I think we need to learn about our petition. When we say, God, help me with this. I mean, we have whatever list we have. We say, God, work this out in my life. Do this in my life. That there are two things going on with David. David is deeply aware of his need, and he's willing to bring that to Jesus. The Bible tells us to do that. It tells us constantly, bring your requests, bring your needs, bring your struggles. Create a rhythm in your life where you are praying for these. But the other thing that David does so well here and models for us so perfectly is that as he is saying, here's my life, he is also saying, God, but I know who you are. And both come out in his prayers. So often in my prayer life, it is, God, bless so-and-so. God, will you help this person? God, I have this issue in my life. Can you help me figure out what to do? God, I want to pray for my kids. God, you know, bless and be with. That's the one that is kind of crazy. God, be with so-and-so, be with so-and-so, be with so-and-so. And it's like we're just praying these things that it's almost like we don't really know what to say. And we're just saying, be with. And first of all, I want to encourage you, get rid of that language. Why? Because God has promised he is with you. He is with those that he loves. He is with his people. That God is, on one level, he's everywhere, but relationally, he is with us. We don't have to say, God, be with so-and-so. He is. But along with that, what happens is we have this list, and we're trying to take these things, but what we need to start saying is, God, Lord, you are the God who is gracious and compassionate, full of mercy, full of loving kindness. God, I pray that Josiah would experience that today. You see the difference here? That it's not just a list. It is me going, I know who you are. And if I don't, I'm going to make sure I get in the Psalms to figure it out. So that as I lift my needs, as I lift my requests, as I bring my prayers to you, it's not just a list like I'm crawling up on Santa's lap going, I want a BB gun. And he looks at me and goes, you'll shoot your eye out, kid. Right? But it's literally me coming to God going, I'm coming to you not just because I have needs. I'm coming to you because I know who you really are. And I know that when I bring my needs to you, really good things are going to happen. And there's this crazy biblical mystery in prayer that I can't explain to you. This mystery that on one hand, God is entirely sovereign and before the foundations of the world decreed all that would take place. And at the same time, that God who is entirely sovereign, who decreed all things of the world to take place, responds to our prayers. I don't understand that, but I can show you biblically it is absolutely true. Which means when I fall on my knees and I say, God, I know who you are and I'm running to you because you don't do anything at a whim. You are the great God and I can trust in you. Now, my life is hurting. Here's what it got. And help me figure this out. Somehow, the sovereign God of the universe interacts with my prayers and answers them. And literally sometimes, the Bible uses imagery of changes. The God who doesn't change, I'm telling you, I don't get it. It's a mystery. But it is our hope that our God hears our prayers and answers. And we're to run to him. And not just in the times of need, we are to create these rhythms in our life where we're just constantly saying, God, I'm coming to you. I know who you are. Here's my life. Work this out. Okay? I just want to challenge you. This is, if we are going to be a people of God that is transformed ourselves And if we're going to be a people of God that sees change in our community and even change in our own kids' lives, this is the single most important thing that's got to happen for Genesis Church. I love going on mission. I put my arm around Heidi this morning. I said, baby, did you ever think when we, you know, had this crazy idea in our head that God put there, that one day we'd be loading up 80 people to go on a mission trip? And she was like, oh my gosh, no, it's nuts. But I can tell you that the reason that is true is because for 5 years we've been praying that God would give us a heart for the nations. It's literally been part of the prayer strategy of this church. So we have got to become a praying people. Let me beg you, don't take this series and then box it up and move on. We have got to figure out as a people what it looks like individually to cry out to God. We've got to figure out what it looks like as a people to come together. And when we pray, it's passionate. I'm telling you, I love y'all deeply. It still breaks my heart that on Friday morning when we say, hey, we're going to gather to prayer, at best there's three of us. And don't hear that as a guilt thing. I'm just saying, when God is really at work here, something's going to go off in the hearts of people that says, I'll go to church on Sunday morning. I'll go hang up. But man, when people are praying, I'm not going to miss that because cool things happen when people pray. Are you with me? Now, I'm not, don't guilt in it. Wrestle with this deeply, but I really am hoping God will do a work in us. And it needs to start with me because it's not my strongest spiritual discipline. Way too often I look at us as a church and I see that I've reproduced me. I love the study of scripture. I love digging in and doing certain things. I love mission. I'm not a mighty prayer. But I hope that something will go off on the inside of us where we begin to cry out to God like David does here. And so there's some things both in the text and just some models or rhythms that I want to encourage you. As you start to figure out what it looks like to bring a request to God, I'm going to give you a little acrostic or acronym using the word joy to challenge you to have joy in your prayer life. That kind of these three areas need to be part of your list of prayers. How are you praying as you pray, taking your petitions, your requests to God? And the first, you know, the J is pray. We need to begin to pray that God will give us the heart of Jesus. That God will give us the heart of Jesus. Verses 9 and 10 are very interesting. This is what he says. Look at what he says in a prayer. He says, all the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. That's not just a random statement in the prayer, okay? From the beginning of the biblical story, there is a plan that is set in place. God calls a man named Abraham. And when he calls a man named Abraham, he says this, I will bless you, I will take care of you, I'm going to pour my love into you, but I'm going to bless you to be a blessing, and through you and your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And it's the beginning of the laying out of a plan that ends in the book of Revelation like this, that the end of the story is that around the throne of God, worshiping Jesus as our God and as our King, there will be people from every tribe, every people, every nation, every language, every culture, every form of doing life, that it will be the ultimate multicultural experience, and that we will stand around the throne just intertwined with people from all over the world, but we have found Christ to be the center of our lives and we will worship him together. It is going to be beautiful. We have a tendency to think that God is white and he likes white songs. And we've got to shake ourselves from that, all right? We've got to come to the point where we realize that God is calling a people from every tribe and every nation. And what David is saying here is this. He's saying, I am this one little pebble in this giant plan. And I get it. That giant plan is that one day there will be people from every tribe, every nation, every people. There will be just millions and millions of people with different cultures, one song. And that song is that Jesus, you are the lamb that was slain and you are worthy of our praise. And what he's doing in his prayer here is he is saying, I know this situation over here is hard, but I don't want to lose sight of the big picture. God, I want my heart to be your heart. Jesus, I want my heart to be your heart. I want what matters to you to matter to me. And whatever it takes for that to happen, I'm cool with that. What does it look like for us to pray for things that are beyond just ourselves? How do you, in your prayer life, pray for things that are eternal? Do you pray for people who are far from God, who need Christ in their lives? Do you have specific individuals that you're going, God, I know this person, and Lord, I met you, and you've changed my life, and I'm praying that you will reach their lives. Do you pray for the nations? Do you pray, God, send missionaries and work in their lives and do really amazing things? Do you realize that as we go this week, it's not just so that we can help people who are hurting? It's because as we step in our lives, we want them to know the Jesus who is the King and the Jesus who loves them, and that we go as part of this mission to see people from all tribes, all countries, all nations. It's why we got people going to Ecuador. It's why we got people going to Haiti, that we're just a little bitty part of this, but we want to be part of something bigger than us because God is on mission. Have you ever stopped and just said, Jesus, what do you want? What do you want? Help me to pray those things. And I think one of the things that will just revolutionize the way, if you'll do it with me, will revolutionize the way you pray, your list, which we need to have a list. I have a list, okay? But one of the things that will revolutionize a list, if you will just start asking that question and say, Jesus, help me pray for the things that matter to you. I'm really good at bringing you the things that matter to me, but Lord, help me begin to pray the things that matter to you. A man named Jeremiah Lamphere, 1857, had this. He's walking around the streets of New York, and he's looking at the businessmen in New York City going, these people are hurting, they're hopeless, they have nothing. We need to pray. And so he went back to his little Presbyterian church and said, here's the deal. I think we need to have a prayer meeting for businessmen. And the church was like, oh, we have never done anything like that before. I'm not so sure it's a good idea. And he said, I just believe God is in this. We're going to pray. And so they set up a noon prayer meeting. And he put out flyers. He made all kinds of flyers, put them out all over the place, just saying, join us, let's come pray. And the first time we came together, they were going to pray on Wednesdays. And the first time they came together, it was September 23rd, 1857. And they came together. He put out all these things. We're going to meet on this day to pray. He got in there, and for the first half hour, he prayed alone. Nobody showed up. But he was faithful. He just prayed. About a half hour in, one person walked in, and then another, and another. And by the end of the hour, there were six people in there praying. And they said, we're going to do this again next week. And the next week, it grew. There were like 14 people the next week. And then the next week, there were 20. And then the next week, there were 30. And the next week, there were 40. And they decided they were going to, instead of doing this once a week, they were going to begin to do this every day. And all accounts of these prayer meetings say these were different. That other prayer meetings, they were kind of churchy, if you get what I mean. They were very formal and people were prim and proper. But something was happening in these prayer meetings as Jeremiah Lamphere had this passion for the people of New York and for the nation and for the nations. As they cried out to God, people were very comfortable and very open, and they began to openly confess their sins. They began to openly seek God with a passion, and a fire took off. And the outcome of this fire that began with one man saying, I'm going to pray for the things that matter to Jesus, was a national revival that began with prayer that spread not only all over New York City. Within about 4 months, every day, over 50,000 people were gathering in churches around New York City praying. This revival, this work of God ended up going to Philadelphia, and it took off there, and it just spread like wildfire. And by the end of 1858, the churches in the United States grew by 20%. 20%. The previous 10 years, the average growth rate of Christianity in America was about 2%. In 1 year, it grew 20%. Oh, that we would be those type of people. Oh, that we would say, Jesus, the things that matter to you matter to us, and we seek you for those things. And so the J in joy is the heart of Jesus. God, give us your heart. Help us to pray for those things. Second thing is the needs of others, that we need to be praying for other people. And this does include praying for people with illness. James says, you know, is anyone sick? Let the elders of church come and pray for them. We do need to pray for people who are hurting, who are having struggles, who are having financial crisis, who are just hurting in all these areas. And we need to know who we're praying for. We need to be careful that we don't tell everybody, yeah, I'll pray for you and not do it. We need to be faithful to praying for the needs of other people. And those do include temporal needs. But I've already mentioned that I also think we need to make sure we incorporate in our lives praying for people's eternal needs. I've heard it said that sometimes we in Christianity spend way more time praying to keep sick people out of heaven than we do praying to keep lost people out of hell. That may be a problem. And so we need to make sure that we're thinking through, who are we praying for? How are we praying? What needs do we have out there? And listen, when your kids are sick, when you have a baby who's hurting, when you have a grandparent who's struggling, when you have a friend who's financially hurting, all those things, yeah, we need to pray for those. The Bible commands us to, but don't stop there. We need to figure out how in our prayer lives we are also praying for the spiritual needs of people who don't know Jesus. And so we need to have the heart of Jesus. We need to pray for the needs of others, and then we need to pray for the will of God in our own lives. We need to pray for the will of God in our own lives. Will of God for you. See, that there's the why. You is joy. Get it? I told you to think it was hokey. Look at verses 11 and 12. As David is saying, man, these people are coming around me. These people are pushing on every side. The center of this prayer is this. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Now listen to what he's saying. He's saying, Lord, in the midst of this, this is the core of what I hope will happen in life. First of all, I pray that you will show me your way, not my way. I'm on my way all the time. I end up in these wrong situations. Teach me your way. Help me to walk in your truth. This is why the use of the Bible in our prayers is so important. That's why I've been saying, use the Psalms. Teach me your way so I may walk in the truth. And then this incredible statement that the first time I ever read this, I went, I've got to memorize this passion and make this one of my prayers. God, unite my heart. Give me an undivided heart. John Calvin says the heart is an idol factory, that my heart is going to pursue anything and everything but God. And that what I try to do is I say, I have God, but I have all these other things that I think are equally important in my life. And David is saying, at the core of this, God, unite my heart. Help me focus my life on you so that my one true passion is you. That's it. Unite my heart. Give me an undivided heart so that I may fear your name. And I will praise you. I will give thanks. I will worship you from that. Hear what he's saying? He's saying, I know I have this situation where these people are pursuing me, but more than that, here's what I want. I want my heart to be so fixed on you that no matter what takes place, I will pursue you and love you, and my heart will be undivided. We need to pray when we're hurting and we're sick and we have all these issues in our life. We need the Bible tells us, but at the center of it, our hearts need to learn how to cry out like David. And literally, I would encourage you to memorize verses 11 and 12. That our hearts need to cry out, say, whatever else happens, teach me your way. Let me walk in your truth. Unite my heart under your kingship, your lordship, and give me a heart that will worship and thank you for everything in my life. Because it's when you find that place, you'll make it through. And David did. You'll make it through. Truth of the matter is, if you study the life of David, David prays like this a lot. Most of the time, God doesn't answer his prayer very fast. Most of the time, there is several years of hardship. The Saul story, Saul pursued him for years, and David had done nothing wrong. The Absalom story, his own son, and David literally didn't know what to do because he loved his son so much, he hated the fact that his son was trying to create a coup, and it wrecked his world. But David said, I'll worship you, Jesus. I will praise you. I will hold on. And I bring my request. Here's why I need you. God, do this. Hear my prayer. I'm struggling. Hear me, please. God, there's a band of men. They don't know you. They don't love you. But Lord, whatever happens, I want to be in your will. I want to trust you. And at the end of the day, I want you to work in such a way so that people know you did it and you get the credit. That's his prayer. Got a buddy. Ran into him this week. His name's Dave. Dave was a missionary. He literally went as a missionary to Russia. I went to college with Dave, and a great guy. And he went to be a missionary. He was studying Russian at the time when we were in college. He went to be a missionary in Russia. And he said, as he told the story the other day when I heard him, he said he was in Russia for 5 minutes when he realized he did not want to be there. He was away from family. He was single at the time, away from family. And immediately he said, okay, God, here's the deal. I will do this for a little bit, but get me out of here. He began to pray that, God, get me out of here. I just don't want to be here. Get me out of here. And 3 months, 6 months, a year later, he's praying, God, I will keep being faithful to you, but I don't want to be here. Get me out of here. And, you know, kind of the way he told the story is after a year and a half, a team of people came into Russia, and this team from the States came into Russia. He was, you know, just meeting with them. They were like there on a mission trip with him. And what he was doing is he was planting a church and starting a Christian school, not a school for little kids, a school to train pastors and other leaders. And so he's there for a year and a half, and this mission team comes in, and he meets this girl that's on this mission team, and he ends up marrying a woman in Russia who was from America, and she goes back and she does ministry with him in Russia for a while. And through a lot of other events, they ended up coming home, but he was there for quite a while, and they planted a church, and they built a school. Well, he was telling the story that he was in Oklahoma on his way from point A to point B, and he was sitting at, you know, the breakfast buffet at this little hotel in Oklahoma, and he hears somebody speaking Russian. Well, of course, he speaks Russian, so he's curious, and he turns around and gives him a greeting in Russian, which I won't even try to do because don't know it. But anyway, he says something to him in Russian, good morning, or how are you, whatever, in Russian. And the guy looks at him and goes, oh, you speak Russian, and begins to speak English back to him. And he says, yeah. And they start talking. He says, where are you from? And the guy says, well, I'm from Orlando, Florida. And he's like, okay, I get that you're trying to be American, but where are you from originally? And they begin to talk. And then the guy looks at Dave and goes, I know you. I became a follower of Jesus and went to your ministry school. What a random meeting God ordained to once again to say to Dave, I didn't answer your prayer the way you wanted to, but I taught you my will. I did something that only I could get the credit for. That's what our prayer lives need to look like, okay? That we need to go, okay, I want this. My baby's sick, I want this. I'm not making it here, I want this. My life is mayhem, I want this. But God, at the end of the day, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Teach me your way. Give me an undivided heart. I'm in. Deliver me from or deliver me through, but whatever happens, make me like you. This needs to be the rhythm of our conversation with God. And so we need to have a list, but we need to learn how to pray this in a way that where we say, God, I know who you are. I come to you because I know who you are. And I'm settled that you are good and you are going to see me through. Now, practical ideas, real quick. I'm going to share a couple and then we're going to do something totally different. Okay, so if you're part of our panel, we're going to do a panel here in just a minute. So come on up if you're on the panel. Let me give you a couple just ideas that I have. And then what we're actually going to do is we've got a panel who are going to come up and give you their ideas. This is going to be kind of fun. Just some ideas. First of all, I will encourage you to keep a prayer diary. Something where you write down your requests and you are praying for specific things on a regular steady basis. Of course, you include your family, but include other people. I'm not telling you how to do it. For me, I have a journal that I keep that I have things that I pray for every day, and I have things I pray for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I have different ministries at the church, different people that I pray for on specific days. One of my joys is that we went to Wales on a mission trip 12 years ago, and I didn't lead all of them, but I was part of leading three boys to Christ. I'll probably never see them again, but I pray for them every Wednesday. Okay? Create that. Second thing is create rhythm in your life. In other words, find a time where it's just kind of consistent for you to do that. All right? You guys aren't sitting over there. You're supposed to come out here, remember? I'm trying to hide behind the speakers. Third thing is pray scripture. Learn how to utilize scripture in your prayers. You know, this will get you out of God bless me or be with, but begin to pray the Bible and memorize scripture and pray those for the for people you're praying for. This passage here, you know, God, give me an undivided heart, but God, I'm just praying for Grace and Mary. I pray, Lord, that you will give them an undivided heart so that they will fear your name. You see the difference between that and Lord bless me, be with? Start memorizing some scriptures and or just open the Psalms and take a verse and say, okay, praying for this person, God, I pray this verse for them out of the Psalms. Use scripture in your prayers, okay? And then choose a couple people who are far from God and create reminders to pray for them. We used to do a thing when I was in youth ministry, we called them dots. It was this little thing that you'd stick on your watch or on a mirror or something, like just a little sticker. And every time you look at the sticker, it was a reminder, I'm praying for that person. Find something that will remind you. Put it on your mirror in your bathroom. Put it on your rearview mirror or something. And you don't have to put a name on it, but just know that whenever you look at that, I'm going to pray for that person. And you know, especially people who are far from God. And the last thing, I thought of this later, so it's not on screen, but let me encourage you to pray now. In other words, okay, this one of the things that God kind of kicked me in the gut, there's a good word there, that I was doing was somebody come up and say, hey, would you pray for this? Or they would share something that was very deep and, you know, a deep need in their life. I go, yeah, I'll pray for you. And I walk away and did I pray? No. You know that. I mean, maybe you're one of those really cool people that every time you go home and get real contemplative and spend like an hour. I did not do that well. And I actually got deeply convicted. And so for me, the way I've worked that out that has been very important for me is that I no longer say, yeah, I'll pray for you. Most of the time, if somebody says, hey, will you pray? I say, let's pray. I pray with you right then, so I will honor your request. Or I make sure if it's a setting where that's not possible, I make sure in my mind I stop and seek God just privately, but right then, so that I'm not lying about praying, all right? That's just an encouragement to you. Don't tell somebody you're going to pray for them and not. So make sure you find a way to do that. Now, with all that being said, we thought we'd have a little bit different fun. We got a panel up here of people that I think I respect because I think they have a prayer life that's real. Just from knowing them, being around them, praying with them, I just think they have a prayer life that was real. And I thought for a few minutes we'd bring them up on stage, and I'm going to ask them a few questions. I'm going to go ahead and get this microphone off. John, you grab that one. That way they have something to turn on. Is this on? Test, test, test. We on, Dave? And we're just going to ask it some questions, and I just thought they could share their thoughts with you about their prayer lives and how they kind of create these rhythms and that kind of stuff for themselves. So here's the first question we're going to ask them. When do you find time in your life to pray? When do you find time in your life to pray? How do you create the rhythm in your life, all right?
Well, first of all, I feel a little conviction because we all go through seasons of dry spells, and so sitting up here, I don't have it all figured out, but in good times, for me, it has to be early in the morning. If I wait till nighttime, I find I'm not fresh and I'm more ready to go to sleep than concentrate, and I also have to be alone. If there are other people up, there's distractions going on in your daily life, so it has to be quiet. And I think Jesus modeled that himself. He got up early in the morning and got away.
Very good. Somebody else, how do you create rhythms in your life? Prayer. Go ahead, Ryan.
Well, for me, I like to try to open my day with prayer and close my day with prayer, and meaning that's the first thing I do when I get up in the morning. It's the last thing I do when I go to bed at night. And along with that, I try to have times where it's very consistent. Pray as soon as I get to work and pray over my day at work. But along with consistency, I try to maintain the ability to be sporadic. If I need to pray about something right now, I don't put it off. I don't think I'll do it later. Just stop and do it now. Usually there's no reason you can't do it right now.
Good. Sarah, you were going to say something.
I think for me, it really changes based on, like, if I'm at school or if I'm at home because my routine changes a lot. So I try and find times in my day where it happens every day, but I can just, like when I'm walking to campus from my house, like I make sure that I spend time in prayer then. Or I worked at David's Bridal at school, and so I would spend hours and hours steaming dresses in the back. So that was a really cool time that the Lord gave me just to spend in prayer because I had to do the task. But just finding times in my day that I am alone, but I might have something else to do. So that's when I try and find time to pray.
Awesome. Tom, you got something?
Yeah, I get up early in the morning too, and that's a good quiet time for me to start the day with God. But the other thing that I like to do is throughout the day, I like to get in the habit of seeing God in the world around me. And I could be driving or whatever it is, and just real quickly see something and just, you know, just say a praise or a request or something short and sweet, but just constantly having him on my mind.
Now, let me just say this. I've heard three early in the morning, okay? Early in the morning prayer time for me sounds like this. Dear God, so do not hear a mandate that that has to be when, but that's good. It's a good way to start your day. That's good. All right, next question. You guys with us up there? I have them here too, so let me find it. Oh, there. Share a few strategies you use to keep you from focusing on yourself and keep you praying for others. I know Melody had some thoughts on that, so.
A lot of you see me with my cell phone and think I'm just on the phone a lot, but I have, which I am, but I have my cell phone set periodically during the day, and the ringer or a buzzer goes off and reminds me to pray. And I will put different people's names in as someone says, will you pray for me? I will put a time in my phone that it goes off so I remember to pray for them. And I don't, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, on Monday morning at 8 o'clock, it goes off, and I feel sorry for that person because I usually don't pray for them. I just go back to sleep. But the people at 10 o'clock, I pray for them every Monday at 10 o'clock. Cool. Like Jim Carrey, I've got post-it notes. I've got, you know, I go through our phone book. I go through my Facebook stuff. And, you know, any type of list that I have at home, I utilize it and pray for those people and the offices for our government and things like that.
Very cool. All right. Anybody else? Got a strategy for making sure you remember who to pray for and
Something I've picked up as a teenager and practiced, I really like that God's brought into my life, is getting into the practice of when I pray for something, for example, like my car, if I'm having car problems, to not refer to it as my car, but try to remind myself at that point to refer to it as God, the car that you gave me.
Mm, that's good.
I'm having trouble. I need to get to work. Can you help me? I'm having these car problems with this car you gave me. Not to make it God's fault, but you know what I'm saying.
Of course, that's what Adam said when he was blaming God and his wife for the sin. This woman you gave me gave me the apple. Anyway, go ahead. All right, John.
I find it works better if you're in community also, that whether it's community group, youth group, Bible study, then you're hearing others' requests, and it tends to help focus that, yeah, life isn't all about me. And then also the scripture we read today in John 14, the answer to prayer is not necessarily just to get our wish granted, but ultimately to glorify God. That's a reminder I need constantly.
Awesome. All right, let's go to the next one. What is your most significant challenge to effective prayer?
For me, it's just the society that we live in. It's just go, 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 and it's finding that time to slow down and take the time not only to pray, but probably the biggest struggle that I have is taking time to listen.
Very good. All right. Anyone else?
When I'm just, like I was saying earlier, like when I'm just walking to campus, I find myself, like I'm two steps ahead of myself in my thoughts, so I'll be praying, but then also I'll be thinking about what I have to do and what I have to do when I get to class or whatever that looks like. So Sometimes I have to make an intentional effort to actually journal my prayers or speak them aloud, because then I'm a lot less focused on myself when I have to write them, or then I see how selfish I am in my prayers too. But just being intentional about not just thinking them, because a lot of times then my thoughts are selfish. So
one of the things that kind of go along with that, that I had a friend tell me this idea and it's really helped me, is when you're praying, do you ever have a situation where, dear God, I pray for, oh man, I got to remember to put the roast on. Dear God, help me. Oh, I got to go check this. And he taught me, and I now do this, and it's really helped, to keep a notepad with me that's blank. Not what my prayer needs, but a blank notepad. And if I have something that comes to mind that I have to do, I write it down instead of going and doing it. I write it down, then I go back to my prayer. Instead of praying for something, then, oh, I got to go do this. And I get so distracted in my prayers. It's really helped me. All right. Anybody else got one here? Challenge?
You know, I think it's just a challenge all around to find the time and to be effective. And I try to remember before I pray every time that there, during the time that I pray, there are five people there. There's myself, there is God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, who I am honoring and glorifying, and there's also Satan, and he's just waiting to dive into the middle of my prayer time and my communication with the Lord. And I always start my prayer with praying for my prayer time.
Cool. Oh, that's good. That's good. All right, next one. How do you stay focused on making sure you pray for things that are eternal?
I find it's helpful to read scripture before you pray. You won't find the distractions of the world in there, that like baseball scores or the stock market or financial worries. A lot of the things my mind tends to race to, like Piper said, the idol factory that is our mind. So you immerse in scripture a little bit in... you're going to be focused on others and on glorifying God. And one of the things that I've prayed through the years is for my sons, that their lives might be used to lead others to Jesus. So that eternal focus with that.
Cool. Anybody else praying for eternal things?
Well, using Jesus' prayer model and how he started out, our Father who art in heaven, and a lot of prayers, like through the Psalms, there's all these different references to who God is in the opening of the prayer. I try to use that model and remind myself in different ways, who is God, and just address him. I mean, we don't understand fully who he is. He's beyond our understanding, but trying to grasp that and understand his greatness helps put it in perspective and know that, you know, if I've got a cut on my leg, that's, you know, great to ask for healing, but there are bigger things that God's at work with. And knowing who he is helps me remind me of that.
Awesome. All right, let's look at the last question here. How do you deal with discouragement when your prayers go unanswered?
Well, I've learned that prayers don't go unanswered. He does answer. It's yes, no, and wait. And wait is what I struggle with the most. And when we go through those periods, reading the scripture is always good. But the other thing that I'll do is I'll reflect back on a spiritual marker in my life where God has delivered me through something and had me wait for a period before he did answer that prayer or take me through it. And that just gives me confidence and strength to endure.
Sarah?
I think it's really important to rest in his faithfulness, like go back to when he was faithful in your life. And that's really cool about journaling, is you can see that. You can see where he has answered you. And then also a lot of times when I think he hasn't answered, or I feel like I am in that like waiting process, it's sometimes I have to change my prayer. Like it's make it God's will and not mine, because a lot of times I find it like I want to be able to do this or like have a conversation with this person, but that really might not be God's plan. And so just being able to get in the word and see what his will already is for us, that helps me a lot when I'm discouraged.
Awesome. Anybody else got one there? All right, cool. I've asked them to stay up here. They're going to help us with this next thing. We asked you to text your prayers in, and what I've asked them to do, we want to pray for your prayer needs, but I also wanted them to help model for us what it looked like to say, you know, sentence or two prayers that help us do both of these. God, here's this need, but God, this is who you are, and this is why we can come to you, okay? So they're going to help us out with this. So we're just going to start putting these up. We are now in a conversation with our Creator. That doesn't mean you necessarily have to bow your head and close your eyes. Sit and pray with us, but do it with your eyes open. Just converse as we look at the screens and see what these are. And we're going to pray over the prayer needs that you've raised this morning. So I'm going to read them, and then one of this, they're just randomly going to take it, and they're going to model that prayer for us, all right? So let's see what our prayer needs. Let's pray for Drew Harris's grandpa. Somebody, one of you guys, do that.
Dear Father, we just lift up Drew's grandpa and don't know the situation there, but Father, you are a loving and compassionate God, and we just put our trust in you that you'll take care of the situation. In Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. Health issues.
Oh, I think I'll take that.
Praying from experience there, huh?
Yeah. Father God, I thank you for the health issues that you've given me and the health issues that you give other people. I've learned that it's a way to grow stronger towards you and to seek your will. And I just ask that whatever health issues the other people here, people in the world, and even my own, whatever we are given, that we see it as that chance to glorify you. And health issues are not a bad thing. They're just a part of your day that you have to go through. And I just thank you for giving me the opportunity to mm-hmm. praise your name through every step that I take as you guide me through it with your loving arms. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. My son has an appointment with a pediatric cardiologist on Wednesday. Pray his heart problem is not life-threatening or debilitating. Somebody lead us in prayer for that.
Lord, we thank you that you love us and you're all-knowing and merciful. And we just want to lift this child up, this family. We pray for peace and we pray for healing. One of your attributes is you're the great physician. And we call upon that in this time of need and have mercy on us.
All right. Friends that are struggling financially, pray that jobs come their way and they don't lose their house.
Jesus, we just thank you for your blessings in our lives and just pray for these people who are struggling financially. And I just pray that you would help them find work that they're looking for and that you would bring opportunities their way and that you would use these difficult times to bring them closer to you and help them to know you more and to just learn to rely on you. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name.
Son William, that he will know that Jesus loves him and that I love him, that his anxious heart will be calmed.
Lord, you're just so good, and I just thank you just for your sovereignty and just your pursuit for us. And I just pray for William and that you'll just capture his heart and you'll just let him just feel loved. We love you too, Lord, and I just thank you for that. In your name I pray.
Jonathan's liver transplant continued to show improvement and push away organ rejection. Be with his family and speak loudly to them as they cannot always hear you.
Father God, we just lift Jonathan up to you, and we thank you for loving him and for being with his parents as he's going through the liver transplant and learning to live with a new liver. We ask that you, first off, we ask that your will be done and that whatever that is, that you give Jonathan and his parents the strength and the wisdom to listen to you as you speak to them. But we ask very selfishly and very wantingly that everything is fine and that his liver transplant is successful and that his body accepts everything so that he can continue to live on and grow old and share your name and share your mission with those that he meets in life.
Living mission at work, being faithful to his word, and developing the right relationships for family members to fully know Christ. So there's three things there. Mission at work, faithful to his word, family relationships.
Dear Father, we just thank you for the opportunities that you give us at work, and just thank you for your word, Lord. And I just pray that you give us the strength and the courage to live out mission in the fields that we're at, whether it's at work and in our family and just the relationships that we have, Lord. We want to let everybody see you through us, Father, for it's in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. My mom to be broken free from her shackles of her deep, dark past. God to perform a miracle in her life so she may entrust her life to God.
Father, we lift this mom up to you and we just ask that you would help her to know that you are forever, Lord, and these things that happened in her past are in the past, and that your forgiveness wipes clean all sins and all pain and heartache. And I just pray that you'd be with her and just show her that you are there with us always and help her to trust in you. In Jesus' holy name we pray.
God, help me be the father that you want me to be, and let the difficult situation that our family is going through draw us closer to you and my family.
Lord, we praise you for giving us earthly relationships and for the heart of this father to realize he's the spiritual head. We turn to you now for strength just to lead him and his family through difficult times and keep their hearts soft and teachable. May the situation ultimately glorify you. Amen.
Amen. Genesis Kids Clubs this summer.
Lord, you're good, and I just thank you for just placing us all in a church that just has a heart for Eureka. And I just pray for the kids clubs this summer, Lord, that you'll just help us be people that are just willing and excited to serve you in this way. And I just thank you for giving us an example of just how to serve well. And we love you, Lord. In your name I pray.
This is good, wasn't it? It's good to go with our needs. If you don't know how to text or didn't get a text in, at the end of service, one of our elders or a couple of our elders will be down here to pray with you, okay? So if you didn't get it up here, but you'd like to be prayed with or have a prayer need you'd like to share, we'll be here for you at the end of service. But we are now going to stand and sing together and worship and celebrate Jesus. And then in just a few minutes, we're going to commission our group going to Charleston and celebrate what God's going to do there, all right? So lead us, Scott.